Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now Mason Crosby, as he's done it so many times to the Dallas Cowboys, looking for the walk-off game ender with 3:25 to go. Snap, placement, kick is up, and it is good!
Yes!
Good! And there is your dagger!
Wilson, under pressure, stepping up, firing downfield. It's tipped and intercepted by Mitchell, who takes a knee at the one!
Yeah, let's take that one home!
Come from behind victories in Week 10 for the two teams that will be squaring off tonight at Lambeau Field. Short week, Titans, Packers. They're both trending in the right direction, although the Packers have a lot more work to do. The Titans already in good position. And, Chris, I guess we subconsciously decided to pay tribute to Aaron Rodgers' post-game press conference attire today by wearing black, although I always wear this on Thursday, except on the Thursdays when I can't find it, which happened a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, but well.
You've got something that's more along the lines of what Rodgers does, although he does like hoodie and poncho and...
Well, I can't wear a hat, but I mean, first off, you're way off here. You're way off. I've been wearing this forever. He's copying me, okay? Let's get this straight. Me in all black has been a thing for 4 years now, okay? So I'm not copying him. If anything, I think he's looked at me on TV and gone, damn, the guy's got good style. He wears either all black or all blue every day, and I'm going to jump on that. That's kind of how I viewed it. I mean, you're crazy for that. I mean, geez.
But you don't wear black with any kind of regularity or predictability. What's happened this year is Aaron Rodgers shows up.
Yeah, on Sundays.
For the post-game press conference.
Right.
In all black.
Yeah.
He's sending some sort of a message to someone, or he does some cat burgling on Sunday nights and he doesn't want to have to change clothes on his way to whatever house he's going to rob while he's leaving the... Because he's only making $50 million a year. He needs the extra money to get from fencing people's diamonds. Yes. So we'll see him tonight, not in all black, but... Now I have an incentive to stay up and watch his post-game press conference from Lambeau Field after the game.
It's been four weeks in a row, all black on a Thursday. Right? I mean, it's
at least four.
It's
as long as I can remember this season, which I'm old and I can't remember much. But I feel like we've been talking about his layered all-black look because he's got like a robe that Miles
The New
Simmons
England game, I feel like
cardigan.
It started. Right, right.
And it's like it's got the hoodie. He's got a poncho. He's got a robe.
Cut-off hoodie.
It's something. It is something. But we'll see if we see it tonight. Before that, we'll see the Titans and the Packers. For the next 2 hours,
Hey. We'll
see it here, PFT Live, presented by Google Pixel. Learn more at googlestore.com. Hello to our audience who is watching and hopefully enjoying the program on Peacock, Sirius XM 85, listening, not watching, obviously. Sky Sports NFL podcast. Hello, hello, hello. We love all of you. We just say that. I don't know that we love all of them because we don't know all of them.
We love them if they're listening and interested.
I love the idea that in this day and age with so many options, so many choices, so many different things you can spend your time paying attention to, if you choose to spend your time listening to a couple of morons talk about football, we necessarily love you.
Yes, yes. What? Well, we do. We got a good following. We got a good group. They understand what we are. I feel like people understand our inside jokes.
They know what we are. Yeah, well, they know what we are.
Yeah, some That's haters out sure. there. Who cares? But, go ahead.
It's a week till Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it occurred to me yesterday,
right,
as we were planning for our double dip today of PFT Live, followed an hour or so later by the Joint Megapicks podcast. Next week, and this falls into the first world problem category, I'll freely admit, but next week is what I call the 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag week, because we got to do all our work by Wednesday. We got to have everything finished by Wednesday.
I'll take it.
Megapicks podcast on Wednesday.
Yeah, so what? Who cares? It's great. I'll take it. I'm still doing one less podcast next week, so that's still something off of the daily list.
Not me. Well, I'm doing all my work in 3 days instead of four.
Well, I do a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday podcast on a normal week, and next week is just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I will not be doing a podcast all 3 days there. But I've been looking forward to next week for the last month, because I hit that point where week 7, week 8, where you get a little, the schedule, and I'm, trying to keep up with film and doing that, where you do get tired. The Thanksgiving weekend, that one extra day off is a great little refresher as we go into the last part of the season. So that's where I look forward to it, too, let alone it's my favorite holiday of all holidays.
See, and this is going to be a very unpopular position that I'm about to articulate.
Well, you've never done that before.
Control room.
Right.
No, I think we should have a show on Thursday and Friday next week.
Well, you can kiss my ass, and you can kiss my ass, and you can, and then you're getting booed in the back.
I'm being heckled.
Yes, you
are. This just in, I'm being heckled in the control room. but there's three games on Thanksgiving
to get
people ready for, and then react to on Friday and next year.
Nobody's listening on Friday morning. Don't worry. It's not worth it. Everybody's hungover.
They'll catch up on the podcast. They'll watch on demand. We'll have clips for the website. Next year, there's a Black Friday game. So, hey, and before we go any farther, there's a chance there'll be a Black Friday game this year, because there's like 6 feet of snow that's going to fall in Buffalo over the next few days, and they don't know what the hell they're going to do with that game on Sunday.
Get shovels and move it out of the way. I mean, this is football. Yeah. We don't move games because of snow. Get your damn plows out, Buffalo, and get it figured out.
It's
what the hell?
It's happened before.
Once. And
Philadelphia, Minnesota, twice.
Twice.
There was a snowstorm in Philly that caused a game to be delayed by 2 days. That was a Sunday night football game. I stayed in Manhattan. That was like my first year connected to football night in America. It was horrendous. There was like 25, 30 inches of snow. I thought we were going to die. Roddy Harris and I walking back to the hotel from 30 Rock. Like, if you fall down, you ain't getting up. That's how bad it was. It was horrible. And then Tuesday, we all took a train down to Philly and did the game from on site. They moved it to Tuesday night. And then 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer than that, there was a playoff game between the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Right.
And there was an ice storm in Kansas City from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock
at
night. So I think all bets are off. They're talking 6 feet, up to 6 feet of snow. It's November. It's unbelievable. So it's just something to keep an eye on.
Yes,
as
it is.
The week unfolds. Because one of the options, because people are saying, well, there's no way they can move the game because the Bills and the Lions play on Thursday. And that's when the little light bulb started to flicker over my head. They could just move that game to Friday if need be. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, yeah, that wouldn't be good, though. I don't want that. I want to watch Detroit at 12:30 or 12 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. That's what we do. So they better figure out. Better get some big shovels in there. Where are they? The snow prediction. Is it on Sunday itself? Or I thought I read that maybe it was like the majority of it was going to come on Saturday, right? Friday, Saturday? No?
Well, a lake effect storm warning was in effect as of yesterday from Thursday, 7 p.m. until Sunday, 1 p.m.
That was the window.
But that was as of yesterday. And the thing about weather, like the only weather they ever get right is yesterday's. I know that. I accept that. And nobody knows. They act like they know, but nobody really knows what's going to happen. So we'll find out. But it definitely hit my radar screen when I saw up to 6 feet.
because that's a problem. There's a certain point where people just can't get to the game.
Yeah, I got you.
There's a point where the Browns can't get to Buffalo.
Right.
There's a point where the Bills can't get out of Buffalo if they would decide they want to play the game somewhere else. Like, somebody had the idea yesterday, and I can't remember who it was. It was because it wasn't like anything I heard. It was one of the people on Twitter or one of the commenters or whatever said, just play the game in Detroit. The Lions aren't home this weekend. I don't think they are. They play the Giants in
New York.
Life,
it
right?
is, yeah.
Is that what happens?
Yep.
So go play Bills Browns in Detroit and just have the Bills stay there until Thanksgiving. I mean, you got to be creative and you got to be ready to move. You got to be ready to go before you get yourself into a spot where it's too late to do anything. And I think the NFL likes to kick the can until it absolutely positively has to make a decision. You could find yourself in a spot where it's too late to make a decision if they're talking about 6 feet. Of snow being dumped on Western New York.
Yeah.
All right. No snow tonight at Lambeau Field, though.
Come on now.
I like a little snow. You know, there was snow flying during the epic Vikings-Bills game for a little while on Sunday.
Yeah, nice, right.
And we got some. I looked out the window when I came up the steps today, a little snow on the roof of the barn. It's kind of a nice look.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
We're getting toward that. You know, it's so weird how I understand how the calendar works and how the seasons change, but it feels like it's not very much time that you go from it being 75 degrees to snow in the air. Wasn't it just 75 degrees a couple weeks
there's
ago?
We have a climate problem. Yeah, it was 80 degrees here last week. It was 80, and now it's 41 right now, and it's going to be 28 here tonight. So there's a problem. There is a climate problem, everybody. So, yeah, it's not supposed to be 80 in the middle of November. That's the problem. This is normal. This is the way it's supposed to be. But we've lost, like, feel or track for that. And, I like a little cold weather in November.
The good news is there are now 8 billion people in the world who
It'll help out. Yeah, Elon Musk says we're here to reproduce. So listen to him. Yeah, that's right. Hey, give this game some love. Right. You've poo-pooed just about every Thursday game. All right?
No. Well, no. I poo-pooed the poo-poo. Like, if there's a pile of crap that is sitting in the middle of the room, I'm not going to walk around it. I'm going to say, look, there's a pile of crap.
But you were wrong. A lot of them were great games. You were wrong.
No. A great finish to a bad game does not make... And I've said, hey, we put our 3 hours in for Colts Broncos. We put our 3 hours in for Commanders Bears. And we got a payoff at the very end. But the games were horrible. I that's just not me. You act like I'm some curmudgeon with my arms crossed in the corner while everybody else is having a good time at the party. Everybody said those games were shit. I mean, come on, even Al, during the game, was like, you know, sometimes the game's so bad, it's almost kind of good. And Kirk Herbster is like, no, it's not. So hey, it hasn't been a great schedule. Last week, it bottomed out for Falcons-Panthers.
That was
lowest
the worst one.
Of the year,
that was the worst
no
game.
Surprise.
Ball.
Yeah. At least the other ones had a great ending. There was no great ending. It was just smothering and suffocation of the Falcons by the Panthers. But, and I made this point, the clouds are parting. We get a great game tonight. Several great games still to come.
Yeah.
Those Patriots is coming up.
Yeah.
Seahawks 49ers is coming up. Cowboys Titans is coming up. So there's some great games left on Thursday night. So, yes, I'm ready to give this game some love. We've done more than our usual 10 minutes of BS on a day when there's actually a good game to talk about. So let's talk about
it.
Titans Packers. Titans 6-3, Packers 4-6 with that win on Sunday over the Cowboys, trying to keep things moving in the right direction. They're very much alive for a wild card spot in the NFC. And as we mentioned earlier, both teams coming from double digit deficits to win in week number 10 as we start. Is it week 11? It's
11.
Week 11 now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Week 11 starts now. I don't mind bye weeks, but I get so discombobulated trying to think what a team's record is, how many games they've played, what week it is.
Yeah.
It's week 11
They're
starting
all
tonight.
Off right now.
One of these teams has played 9 games, the other has played 10. The Packers' bye is coming up in a few weeks. The Packers, most importantly, snapped that 5-game losing streak, which I think at some point you got to win. But to beat a really good team should give you something that carries over into this short week game. A little burst of confidence, a sense that we've turned the corner, an idea that we can compete and we can win. Let's take them one game at a time. But I've wrestled with this one. We got the Mega Picks podcast coming up in a few hours, and I've gone back and forth. Who do I like? Titans, Packers. That makes for a good game tonight, because I really think it is a tough call as to who's going to pull this one off, Chris.
I agreed, Mike. I'm with you there. I mean, we know, first off, the Titans, both of these teams are comfortable in, you know, what do you want to say, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of football games. Games that are 17-14, 20-17. So that's where it's hard to call it, because you just go, well, more than likely it's going to be that kind of game. So who do we see out of these teams making that one or two plays? Because we know the NFL right now, more than ever, it comes down to 4 or 5 plays that really make the difference of the game. Who's going to make those plays to, you know, get that 3-point advantage to win the football game? I'm with you. I've gone back and forth with this one as well. You got to think Green Bay got a little more confidence. You know, like you've talked about with Minnesota all year, you get a win against a good team and all that. Okay, wait, we know how to win that type of football game. Tennessee definitely knows how to win that type of football game. They're in that every week. It never changes. So that's where it's really cool. But I think there's some interesting things about the matchup too, right, Mike? I mean, the running game of the Packers, their offense, it's been one of the, you know, best things going in the NFL the last few weeks. Oh, whoa. Well, I don't know. Now it's the clash of the Titans there. I mean, literally, because the Titans D-line, you can't move it with some of those guys up there. Jeffrey Simmons, I think he's going to play. I know he was maybe questionable, didn't play last week. But that's where it gets interesting is, oh, wait, Aaron Rodgers and the team that wants to run the ball and do that and be real efficient with the short passing game for the most part, they might not be able to run the ball tonight at all. And now that might mean Rodgers has to drop back and throw the ball against a team that can rush the passer really well and can play really good pass defense. So that's where, Mike, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of stuff here to unpack about this matchup.
Jeffrey Simmons is questionable for tonight's game with an ankle injury. He's in Green Bay. If he hadn't made the trip, he would have been ruled out. There are five players out for the Titans. Bud Dupree with a hip, Amani Hooker, the safety, with a shoulder, Lonnie Johnson with a hamstring, he plays corner, and center Ben Jones has a concussion. Also, the kicker, Randy Bullock, is out for tonight. Josh Lambeau makes his first appearance since he was cut by the Jaguars. Remember, he's the guy who was kicked, allegedly, by Urban Meyer. He filed a lawsuit. The lawsuit was dismissed earlier this week, but it's going to be refiled under a new theory. But Josh Lambeau is back. Wasn't blackballed for filing a lawsuit. I figured once he filed that, it was the kiss of death and nobody would ever give him another chance in the NFL. But
yeah, it's cool.
We'll kick tonight.
Maybe they realized it was Urban Meyer and there was some probably merit to the whole thing, and they, you know, were able to evaluate that the right way. So that's good to see him back out there.
That was really the tipping point. Once that came out, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times reported that last year. That was like a crazy, weird, the whole Urban Meyer adventure. And once that story emerged, it felt like that's when it all began to fall apart. That was the end of the end. Not the beginning of the end, but the end of the end for Urban Meyer, and he was out as the Jaguars coach. So last year's coach of the year, at least as far as PFT was concerned, Mike Vrabel, trying to pull it off on the road. I think back to that Thursday night game last year where they were down to the 49ers and they just keep coming. There's a relentlessness to the Tennessee
Titans. There is, right.
You know, you mentioned, Chris, this idea that most football games, especially when it's two closely matched teams, it comes down to a play here, a play there, a decision here, a decision there, a fluky thing here, a fluky thing there. And when you have Aaron Rodgers, that gives you an edge when it comes to making those things happen.
Right.
When you got Mike Vrabel. When you got Mike Vrabel, that gives you an edge as well.
Right.
Who was it? Did you – somebody was – because there's been this weird pushback to the Colts had no business hiring Jeff Saturday narrative.
Right.
There's people in the media saying that people are wrong to say that the Colts were wrong to give the job to somebody with no coaching experience. And somebody made the point, well, Mike Vrabel's a coach. Slight difference. Mike Vrabel's been coaching
for a while.
He's been coaching Ohio State, Houston Texans. He's been a coach.
Right.
This isn't a guy that just got plucked out of the wilderness. He's a former player who pivoted to coaching.
Instantly.
Just go sit at home,
right,
eating pork rinds for 10 years, and somebody called up and say, hey, how'd you like to coach? Sure, what the hell? I'm not really doing anything else. I've done all my lawn work and cars are fixed. Yeah, I'll come coach for a few weeks. So I can't remember who it was, But no, Vrabel's become one of the best coaches in the NFL.
No question.
And we don't look at him that way because he looks like he'd still put the pads on
yeah.
and beat the crap out of
That's
you.
That's right. He looks, exactly. I mean, he still looks cavemanish, and with all due respect. I mean, he's a freaking outside linebacker for the New England Patriots, the Giants mold, which they only believe in huge, you know, killer human beings. He's a guy that, you know, probably had to watch what he eat his whole career to stay at 6'5", 270, because if he had a bad weekend of eating, he would have been 285 or 290. I mean, he is. He's a giant human being. But, man, I'm with you, Mike. I think we're both in agreement there. The respect I have for Mike Vrabel, the coach, is through the roof. He is definitely one of the best coaches in football. And because of what you said. You know, one, hey, the team, all the basic details of football and just the getting back to the basics there, they're great at all that, blocking, running, tackling. And then he's unbelievable at managing situational football in certain moments and knowing every rule like a Belichick and taking advantage of it and all of that. He's amazing at all of that. And then you add into, I think what you're talking about is, you know, the game plan specific stuff that we talk so much. He plays one defense one week, and you come out the next week, and you just go, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but damn, they're all over these guys. They know exactly where they're trying to attack, and that's where, like, when you talked about Rodgers and Vrabel, that's where I get real excited because I look at it like this, Mike. I don't know. I got to see somebody run on this defense before I say you can run on this defense. You know, with Simmons, who I think is going to play, this kid, look at number 90 tonight, everybody, Naquan Jones. He's arguably the best run-stopping defensive tackle in football. And let alone they got another group of just depth and great size on the D-line where I don't think they're going to be able to move that group up there. I'd be shocked if they can run it. But then gets into the chess match, Mike, of what you're talking about of Rodgers, the quick release, the RPOs, the quick throws, and Vrabel – and a pass defense that's really honed in for the most part as of late. We saw that in the Kansas City game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't have one person open the whole night. He just got it in there and got it done the whole night. It was unbelievable. And so now they got to come up with a little bit of a game plan, stop the run, and take away the ability to get it out real quick and, you know, find these little holes off of the little run fake. And that's what I'm excited to see, what Vrabel and company got for that. I do think the short week actually hurts them more than it does Green Bay in a lot of ways because Green Bay kind of know what they're going to do. It's their formula on offense, blah, blah, blah. Vrabel and them, like we're talking about, they're a little more exotic. And, you know, I'm sure they'll have something for them tonight, but I'm very interested in that aspect of the matchup.
Titans had their bye week six, and
right.
I'm sitting here wondering how much time Vrabel may have spent to planning ahead for this one because he's played the Colts, Texans, Chiefs, and Broncos since the bye ended. And, you know, they know those teams pretty well. The Packers, a team they don't play very frequently, and I can't help but wonder whether he spent some of that time getting ahead of things because he knew that Thursday night standalone primetime game at Lambeau Field is coming. And, yeah, that Belichick mindset, no days off, bust your ass quietly. It's not like Mike Vrabel tells everybody how hard he works. Some people feel compelled to tell everyone how hard they work. Some people just go work hard.
Yeah, that's
Vrabel.
They're
too busy to stop and tell everybody how hard they're working.
Right.
And that's Vrabel. So that part of it's going to be fascinating. You made the point yesterday about how they set the record by far last year of the total number of players that were on the roster.
Right.
And they still had the number one seed in
that says it all.
The AFC. Yeah. And you know, as we've had this conversation, I keep ping-ponging in my brain who I'm going to pick in this one when we do the podcast later today.
I don't have a definite answer yet.
Packers to Titans to Packers to Titans to Packers, and who knows? Right now I'm leaning Titans again. So, you know, both teams, that's the thing, both teams really need it. It sounds cliche, but it's true. You have that extra impetus. You've got that sense of urgency. The Packers have it. They're running out of chances. They lose tonight. That's seven losses. You don't have many more before you're done. It's over.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Yep.
But if the Titans want to stand out, if they want to compete with the best of the best, if they want to have a home game or two in the postseason, they'll get one if they win that division, and they're the best team in that division.
Yeah.
But if you want to set things up for yourself a little bit better than that, you got to keep winning these games. Although last year, the one seed didn't mean a damn thing because the Bengals, who are next up for the Titans after this week, the Bengals came in and beat them last year to end that run after being the one seed.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, so when the Packers have the ball,
yeah,
you're expecting that they're going to continue to run. The question in your mind is, will they be able to?
I don't think they will. I don't think they will. That would be my assessment sitting here now, right? You know, I haven't seen anybody be able to really run on the Tennessee Titans as of late. So that's where I just go, I don't think they will. And then, yeah, Mike, the next part is now – I don't think Tennessee will give them the opportunities you saw Dallas give them as far as, wait, we'll play man-to-man across the board and take away the RPOs or some of the short passes that way. And then Rodgers got to hit Christian Watson really on all three touchdown passes. It was man-to-man coverage, a guy in a really tough spot against a guy that runs 4-2-9. The Tennessee Titans don't live like that. They'll dabble in man, but they'll be smart with how they do it, and I think they're going to find ways to stop the run and then drop people in zones and areas where they know, like, oh, he's going to try to throw it here off of that with the RPO or the little quick pass or whatever there. That's where I envision. And to me, that's where I'm very interested to see what Vrabel, Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator for the Titans, what they got in store to kind of take that away. Because, it's a pain in the butt formula, as we saw with Dallas last week. Dallas is a really good defense, and they had a hard time because of that little, you know, aspect of what the Packers bring to the table.
When we saw the Titans play in primetime week 9, Sunday Night Football, they had to defend 68 throws.
Yeah, right.
By Patrick Mahomes. Too short of the single game record. On Sunday at Lambeau, Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers combined for 66 passes for the entire game. And Rodgers only threw 20. I really do think that this thumb injury management was part of what forced the game plan, because they knew they had to turn around and play on Thursday. Rodgers hadn't been at a point where he could even practice until Thursday every week of this thumb injury that goes back to the London loss to the Giants. And he said last week that the week before he tried to practice on Wednesday and it made it worse. So when is he even throwing the ball this week?
Yeah.
What is he really doing? And I think that, you know, when you throw only 20 passes in the game, I think you're conscious of, as an organization, the fact that this thumb isn't getting any better. And that's a question tonight, because, look, if they shut down the run, and I think they'll sell out to shut down the run and force Aaron Rodgers to throw a lot of passes, there's no way in hell he's got 68 passes in that thumb tonight. If the Titans can put the clamps on Aaron Jones and company, football isn't as easy as it looks, but we grossly overcomplicate it. I think this is old school battle of wills, smash mouth, shut down the run, and you take away the play action, which was so effective for the Packers on Sunday. If they're not running the ball, and you put more pressure on Aaron Rodgers to throw with that injured thumb. And you hope you have better luck than you did when Mahomes threw 68.
Yeah, if it gets to that, they will not win. They're not capable of doing 50 throws and winning a game, and not against this group either. I don't think, because they can of course rush the passer, and we know Mahomes and that passing offense has more weapons and more creativity, and the Titans were all over it. I mean, all over it. They're on another level. They're an elite level, in my opinion, pass defense right now. Early in the year, you know, we talked about it. The stats lie about their overall defense a little bit. I think we hit on this last week. They had some mess-ups early in the year. They blew some coverages because they do a lot of intricate stuff. And it's a lot of, you know, check to this, do this, rules and things like that where they mess up. They messed up the long touchdown pass last week. And Russell Wilson and them, they threw a touchdown pass. They were trying to play kind of an exotic zone coverage and disguise something. The guy kind of messed up how he was supposed to play it, and it gave the Broncos an easy touchdown to the left sideline. But that's I don't think that the Green Bay is built for that, and I don't think Rodgers, unlike Mahomes, who has no fear, and if you're open by this much, he can't throw it, he's still like, well, I'm Mahomes, and I'll get it in there somehow. And Mahomes was throwing hook shots in there. He was just making it happen. Rodgers isn't going to do that. You know, Mike, honestly, I think they want to throw it in the low 20s. I don't think they totally trust Rodgers. They don't totally trust that he's going to make the plays that are there. And he's not playing great. I know he had a good game last week, but, you know, he's not played good this year, period. It's like a little bit of the Tom Brady conversation. People don't really want to say it, but it's the truth. And, you know, this is the kind of group here where he hasn't been able to pull the trigger into windows all year long. This group's going to make him feel really nervous about pulling the trigger into some of these windows. So that's where I get back again into the RPO, quick pass, little quick pick play here, and all that type of stuff that Rodgers is phenomenal at, because his release is the quickest release in the history of football. But, you know, Vrabel, his time for New England, you know, all that stuff, what they do now, I think they can pose some problems, and, you know, that's where it'll be interesting. And then, gosh, Mike, we haven't even got to the other side of the ball, which I think is some interesting matchups there. Good, cool.
Yes, well, because the Packers gave up 115 rushing yards to Tony Pollard.
Exactly, right.
If Tony Pollard gains 115, what's Derrick Henry going to get?
That's the scary thing, right. We've seen that, you know, you can run the ball in Green Bay a little bit. They're a really good defense. We know that. But there's been teams all year long that have run the ball in Green Bay. Maybe it hasn't been like, oh, my gosh, they got absolutely smashed by it. But, I mean, you go through the year and you go, well, yeah, there's been plenty of teams that have put together 100-yard rushers, over 100-yard games, and playing that way. So that's where they've been a little disappointing. And then we know with that and a running ability like that, this is a team that's got – a great play-action pass game. They just don't have that guy yet. And then, you know, they're great too, Mike. And another point to your Vrabel point where, you know, just again, think of last week what Vrabel does. Hey, we're struggling a little bit. Hey, I got a flea flicker. He always gives his team like one or two plays too to go, yeah, we're not the most explosive offense or whatever, but we found one or two creative ways to kind of screw you over. And we got a touchdown out of it. And that's where he's really, really damn good. But you know, that's to me, Mike, you hit it, is can they stop this sledgehammer, this guy right here? And this is a really good offensive line, and it's not a great, great run-stopping D-line by the Packers. I can see them running the ball. But the other question off that, Mike, is just who can be the go-to guy? That's the thing we got to see with Tennessee down the stretch here in the pass game. There's got to be somebody to develop. Treylon Burks, it sounds like he's going to be back tonight. But they need something there. They can't find a way to throw a flea flicker or some trick play every week to make, you know, their one big explosive play of the week in the pass game.
Burks did play on Sunday. He was targeted 6 times, 3 catches for 24 yards. His return from injured reserve, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, had 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 119 yards. Austin Hooper was involved. Derrick Henry, a couple of catches. Robert Woods. There was a lot of hype preseason that Robert Woods was going to be some magical addition to the Titans offense. He really hasn't done much for them this year. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill was banged up, missed a couple of games, but he's back. He's healthy. They only mustered 17 points against the Broncos, but the Broncos are a damn good defense.
Really
good defense.
The
Broncos did a good job of bottling up Derrick Henry, who had 53 yards on 19 carries. Again, I don't think 53 is going to be the number tonight. He's going to have more luck running against that Green Bay front.
Yeah, this team and Green Bay's defense. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and, you know, hey.
I mean, I meant to say it's not Denver's defense.
Right,
excuse me.
Right.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah.
Not that long ago, Henry had back-to-back 200-yard games. He's a guy that just kind of explodes when you least expect it. You know, it's not like every game's 100-yard or every game's 150, but he's got that potential to just go off. And I could see it happen tonight. And that's it's simple. Again, we overcomplicate it at times. This is a simple formula tonight for the Titans. Run and stop the run. Run and stop the run. And they can do both as well as anyone.
Yeah, no, you're right. They can. They can do as good as anybody. But there's got to be, at least to their offense, a little bit of an element to where this is a team, again, you know, Green Bay's defense, it is very good. They're better at pass defense than run defense. But, you know, when you're playing a team like Tennessee and you go, wait, we don't have to – there's not a ton in the passing game we have to worry about. We can kind of go all in on stopping the run. That's where it gets interesting. It really does. And then you got a guy like Jair Alexander where, you know, you could flirt with playing some man-to-man and load the box and play that way as well. So that's where it does intrigue me. You know, I could see Green Bay giving them a tough time. Like this is the Tennessee, unlike last week where, yeah, it was basically just two drives the whole game, and one of those drives was the flea flicker. They're going to have to depend a little bit more of a passing tack tonight. I don't think they're going to be able to just get away with just bludgeoning them in the run game. Joe Barry, that coaching staff up there in Green Bay, you know, they know what they're in store for here. They're going to put all their eggs into stopping the Derrick Henry basket there.
Well, it should be a great game tonight, a fun game, an old-school game. Hopefully there'll be a few snowflakes flying. The high in Green Bay today is 29, so you'll see those.
It's good,
you know,
football
you see the
look.
Breath, the steam coming out of the helmets. This is great, great November, December football time, and the only thing missing is snow. We mentioned the snow that will be in Buffalo earlier. Let's talk a little bit about that Browns-Bills game. And I have some good news.
Yeah.
I have some good news.
What?
The lake effect storm warning has been revised.
Uh-oh.
The,
it changed,
the
huh? They didn't know.
Total snow accumulations are now 2 to 4 feet, not 3 to 6 feet.
Damn, it'll be 80 and sunny by the time Sunday comes around. I'm not worried.
Up to 4 feet of snow. Here it is. Travel will be very difficult to impossible. We'll see. We'll see. But either way, they'll find a way to play this game. They're not canceling the game. They'll get it done one way or the other, whether it's in Buffalo, whether it's in Cleveland, whether it's in Detroit, whether it's in Toronto, they'll get this game in. So, the Browns at 3-6, Deshaun Watson is back at practice, and there's a question about how you're going to split up the reps. You're getting Watson ready for week 13, but you still have to have Jacoby Brissett ready to go for the games that they're going to play until Watson is back. Josh Allen with the elbow, he was limited in practice on Wednesday, Chris. You know, we just kind of forget the elbow's even an issue because he played and he showed no ill effects of it, but he's still got that elbow injury that, you know, probably won't get fully better until he has an extended break after the season ends.
Yeah, right. Or maybe that after Thanksgiving. Well, actually, they played the Thursday after that, so maybe it'll have to be after that, right, where he gets just an extended time there. But, yeah, it was, you know, to your point, Mike, it was hard to see anything there that you looked at it the other day and went, oh, wow, the elbow's affecting him. You know, maybe rhythm and timing and just some reps and, you know, mechanic type stuff just because I didn't get to practice that week. Okay, I could buy into some of that. But, you know, as far as the way the ball looked and the way the ball flew through the air, I mean, we were both sitting there watching the game on Sunday going, oh, wow, oh, whoa. And so he was still throwing lasers, typical Josh Allen lasers. But, yeah, I would think it's something that they're going to, you know, have to put him on a little bit of a pitch count. Hey, how sore is it on a Wednesday morning? Oh, it is a little sore. Okay, you don't throw today. Fine. So what? You know, but I would think that's going to be the life as we move forward here, at least for the next few weeks from this guy. But he's a freak of nature, and he won't complain. He's old school, like we were talking about with Mike Vrabel, and he's just going to continue to push forward.
Here he is from yesterday talking about how he's managing that elbow injury.
It'll get to a point, you know, where it's back to normal, and I don't feel it and don't have to worry about it. But until that time comes, yeah, just being smart with it and making sure I'm not, you know, doing anything stupid in walkthroughs and not throwing it very hard, you know, and just staying in the training room and still getting treatment on it. No, it doesn't impact my preparation. Again, we got Case, you know, and Matt that are stepping in, and whether they're throwing for me or doing all that stuff, we got vets that understand it. And again, just making sure that I'm going through each rep in my mind, and you know, the training staff has me on, you know, a specific plan that we'll follow, and you know, that's kind of up to them, but we'll trust them with that.
Allen also addressed his recent rash of turnovers and acknowledged that sometimes he tries to do too much. Maybe there's a play here or there that maybe I did cross the line. He understands he needs to trust the other guys around him, take the check down when it's there, and make the smart play. kind of reminds me a little bit about the bumps that we've seen with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
From time to time.
Sure.
Where he wants that home run ball.
Yeah.
And he forces it and gets into trouble that way instead of just taking what the defense is giving you. And there's also, and we've talked about this, an element of predictability that's creeping in that allowed Patrick Peterson to study film and know what was coming and get those two interceptions. That's concerning as well. So the combination of recklessness with some tells and some tendencies that are coming through in the film, and they've cracked the code a little bit on Josh Allen, and now it's incumbent on the Bills to uncrack it, to get ahead of what defenses expect.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's, you know, certainly truth to that, Mike, and what you're saying. And then I think, you know, really the most base point is he just got to stop doing some dumb crap. That's what he's done. The last interception in the game, certainly. I'm sure there's some tells there that they need to work on. You know, they obviously had Gabe Davis broken down from what you heard on the Patrick Peterson podcast there. He understood what kind of routes he was going to run really throughout the day. And then that would be a throw there too where I'd go, I bet you reps from the week, that's where it hurt you. You know, there's some accuracy, missed accuracy throws from the game last week because of lack of reps. Yeah, I think there was a few throws I could look at and go, man, he doesn't usually miss that or make that type of throw there. But I think the ultimate thing, Mike, is to your point. It's just, it's a lot on him. And I like what you said because it is like he's gone basically all of last year and the year before of being magic man like Mahomes, where you were just like, I don't know, he does the damnedest things ever. And he makes throws where I go, oh, no, don't do it. And I go, whoa, he got it in. Whoa, he got it in. And after like 100 times of doing it, you start to go, well, damn, it's not luck. It's this guy can do it every time. And that's where we were with Mahomes. But we've hit a point here where, yeah, he's lost that, you know, the gauge there a little bit of going like, wait, here's reckless and here's tactically aggressive. And he's gone reckless a little here as of late. And he'll dial it back in, I'm sure. He's very smart and he's just got to make that adjustment. But, yeah, that's the number one thing hurting their team here as of late is that and mistakes across the board. I mean, that interception in the end zone of Patrick Peterson, what's Isaiah McKenzie do? He's sitting watching him run up the sidelines for a 40-yard gain. Tackle him at the five. What were you doing?
That is so amazing to me. I mean, and Peterson told me, once Allen broke the pocket, he shoved McKenzie out of bounds, and then McKenzie acted just, like he's
literally
disqualified from participating in the play.
He literally,
he's standing with all his hands on his hips. Hey, there he goes.
Hey, there he goes. Look at that. Josh, I hope you get him, Josh. You know, I mean, it was crazy. And then, you know, they had rookie players that messed up and made mistakes. The defenders, you know, whether it
lower
was...
right corner. Watch the lower right corner here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not the play.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Well, sorry. Yeah,
but either way...
Re-rack. Yeah,
their team let them down in a lot of ways, and it wasn't just all him. I mean, think of Benford, the rookie corner. He made some bonehead mistakes, personal fouls, playing cover two, and he's up in the flat, and you're like, wait, there's nobody in the flat, and Justin Jefferson's behind you. What are you doing? You know, there was plenty of mistakes to go around. They're just not playing clean football, but I think they'll get back on track. I just have too much faith in McDermott and company, like almost like Vrabel, where I just feel like they'll get it right. They'll get those little issues fixed and get rolling here again soon.
Well, and they get a good opponent this week because the Browns have been
kind of seems like it's
yeah they got that big win against the Bengals,
yeah,
right?
Right,
to go to the bye at 3-5, and we have a different vibe and a different feel and a different level of optimism, and then they go to Miami and just get stomped.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to feel about the Browns, and I feel like at this point they're just doing everything they can to hold it together until Deshaun Watson is back and is playing. And as I mentioned, he's back and he's practicing. And how would you go about getting him ready, but also keeping Jacoby Brissett ready? Like, what do you start giving Watson first team reps now, Chris? What would you do?
Well, I think that, you know, Jacoby still gets the first team reps, but just say, you know, in a normal practice, all right, we have a 12 play period. The starting quarterback on a Wednesday, he gets all 12. You know, every now and then, maybe if it's like a veteran quarterback who's, you know, trying to take a little wear and tear off of his arm, those 12 plays, he might go, well, I'll take 9, and you can let the backup take the last 3, and he can get some reps with the first team, maybe on a Wednesday, a veteran-type quarterback. I think I would approach it kind of that way. Like, hey, we're going to do stuff with you after practice and all that, and you're going to go through all the individual. Jacoby's going to get the majority of the practice reps, but we're going to throw you in the last few plays of each period just to get you going here a little bit. And then you're going to do scout team as well, just so you can get going there as well and get playing and, you know, get used to the speed of the game. I would go that way. And then as you get to that, they got a he's got two more weeks before he can play, actually, right? So I would slowly go that way. Yeah, slowly go that way. And then as you get into that, you know, week of the game, you make the switch and he gets every rep.
When he does play,
yeah,
it will be his first regular season game since January 3, 2021.
It's insane.
The final week of the 2020 season, a 41-38 loss to the Titans at home. That was the last time we've seen him. We'll see him back in Houston for that return game. And, you know, somebody was asking me about this yesterday, like, how big of a deal is it going to be? I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as we thought, because this is just one game dropped in with the cluster of others that will start at 1 o'clock Eastern on that Sunday in early December. And neither team is a powerhouse. The Texans are an afterthought. They're one of the worst teams record-wise in the NFL, even though, as I continue to say, they're not embarrassing themselves. They're playing everyone tough. They played the Giants within one score. They gave the Eagles everything they could handle. And I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off a victory this weekend. But I just think it's not going to be as big of a deal as we would have thought. Everyone's processed it. Everyone's accepted it.
Yeah.
He's serving his suspension. And I'm not defending him. I'm just trying to estimate how big of a deal it's going to be. I just don't think it's going to be nearly as big of a deal as we would have thought back when the suspension was finalized. And we all said, oh, crap, his first game back is at Houston.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I think everyone has kind of come to terms with it. People are exhausted by it. The fact that they're not very good and not in the conversation, really in the AFC playoff conversation, I think that takes a little sizzle off the story altogether, right? But still something I think we're all going to have our eyes on for sure. And he's going to get booed mercilessly as he goes into the stadium in Houston, that's for sure as well. But I'm with you, Mike. I mean, it's not going to overtake the NFL like it did, you know, the majority of the offseason. At least it doesn't seem that way.
In the spirit of the looming season, I'm giving you a pass for mercilessly because I just assume you misspoke.
I did.
We all misspeak.
Yeah.
You don't think that's the word. You know it's mercilessly. That was just a misspeak.
Yeah,
and again,
right.
We all do it. I do it. I've probably done it five times today. I'm looking at the schedule for that day that Deshaun comes back.
Right.
The other games include Packers at the Bears,
mm-hmm.
a pretty significant and impactful game. Broncos at the Ravens, which has got storylines with Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson. How about the Jets, the Vikings being played at the same damn time as Browns, Texans? How about Titans at Eagles being played at the same time as Browns, Texans? Commanders, Giants being played at the same time. There's eight games in that window. So I just really think it's going to take a lot for it to stand out and be as significant as we would have thought it would be back at the time. And we also thought the Browns would be better than they are.
Yeah.
They could be 3-8 going into that game.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and by all due accounts, if you made me bet, I would expect that, right? They got the Bills this week. They got the Bucks the next week after that. So, right, it's not matchups that I look at them being able to win. This week, we'll see. Maybe the weather helps them out a little bit. We do know they have a very good run game. We've seen teams run on Buffalo a little bit here as of late. But, you know, maybe they can make it interesting. Yeah. But I don't expect it.
I think the snow is going to help the Buffalo passing game because, number one, the receivers know where they're going. Right?
Right.
It's harder to keep up with a guy when you're chasing him in the snow and you don't know where he's going. And number two, hello, Wyoming, Josh Allen.
Yeah, it just doesn't
those
matter
piss
to him.
Missiles
right.
Through the wind and the snow and
right.
The everything out there, that won't be an issue.
No, I agree. That's where they have an incredible advantage against really just about anybody except for you know, Herbert,
Mahomes,
right. I mean, it's those guys that are going to be able to, okay, we got to go up there and play in wind and cold. We can cut it through there with our arm and the way we throw the ball. You know, Joe Burrow, I'd probably put him in that list. I think Lamar could probably cut it through there too. I do. But, yeah, you know, you said it. Mahomes and Allen, they're impervious to some of those elements. They can just throw it through anything, and that's a great advantage for Buffalo in these type of games.
You know, I just had a flash of a memory, and sometimes at this age my memories are dead-on balls accurate. Other times it's either wishful thinking or it just never got in the right way. But that Monday night game last year in Buffalo when it was super windy – and Bill Belichick rope-a-doped Sean McDermott into kind of giving up on the passing game until the Bills
had to.
Were running out of chances.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh,
whoa,
wait,
he
Josh
can
Allen
throw
can
through
throw
it.
In this. We should have been doing this all night.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, that should be the ultimate because that was like one of the windiest games we've seen in the history of the NFL. And, yeah, they were getting dominated on the ground, and they finally said, okay, we got to throw it. And he had no problem. I mean, this is a guy that we're talking about as one of the greatest arms in the history of football. It's there in that conversation already. I don't think there's anything they need to worry about anymore. He's just got to be careful with the football, and they got to get back to protecting it that way and get a little healthy. But I still think Buffalo is one of the best teams in football. I really do.
Hey, the most important thing, too, and it's kind of good that this snow creates an issue. It makes it easier to hit the reset button and forget about that roller coaster ride that they were on that they ultimately lost. Because I don't know how you get past that if you're either team. If you won it or if you lost it. I saw Kevin O'Connell. We're going to talk about the Vikings coming up next segment. But Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings coach, actually did more of a walkthrough on Wednesday because his guys are still drained. They got to be physically and emotionally drained from what they went through on Sunday. So let's go ahead and take a break and see if the Vikings can continue to keep their hot streak going when the Cowboys come to town. And the Cowboys, as of yesterday, were actually favored to win the game. We'll talk about that when this Thursday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.